The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Congressman Dan Crenshaw. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. Good to be with you.
Thank you. I want to ask you about your hotline for critical race theory complaints. But first, yesterday you said Gwen Berry, who finished third, I believe, in the hammer throw and did not want to face the American flag when it went up at the trials, ought to be tossed off the Olympic team. Did you notice she was wearing a Puma shirt?
I didn't notice.
Yeah, Puma makes about a quarter to a half of their material in China. Before we kick her off, do you want her to talk about China and what they're doing with their slave labor?
Well, Hugh, you can't presuppose that these activist athletes really know much about their own activism and the contradictions that they fall into. You know, so that would be raising the expectations a little too high. I thought it was kind of funny how I became the face of this entire thing. I just answered what I thought was just a regular question on Fox and pointed out what I thought was pretty obvious. If you're going to represent the Team USA, you should you should like the USA, and the mere notion of supporting the United States that you shouldn't offend you. But if you're going to be on Team USA, after all, and I think a lot of people agree with that. But next thing I know, I was trending on Twitter. And it's funny these days what will trigger the left's meltdown. And it seems like patriotism to them means tearing down your country. I mean, it really has gotten to that. I don't think that's an overstatement. I don't think I'm throwing out red meat here. I think that seems to just be true. And Jen Psaki essentially said that, defending Gwen Berry. She said, you know, I can't think of anything more patriotic than protesting against our country. And not something our country is doing, mind you, just the country in general. It's like we love the country so much that we want to completely revolutionize and change it. That's sort of how the left feels about their country. It's like, could you imagine telling your wife that? I just love you so much. I just want everything about you to be different, though.
Yep.
I mean, would that be love, or would that be some kind of sadistic sort of relationship?
Now, I know what they're going to do next. They're going to suggest that you are Joe McCarthy, reborn with an eye patch from Texas, and whatever the merits of your military record and your heroism, you're still Joe McCarthy, tail gunner Joe, because you want to give litmus tests on patriotism to athletes, to which you will respond what, Dan Crenshaw?
Yeah, you know, and they also accuse me of, this is cancel culture, Dan. I thought you were against cancel culture, but aren't you doing cancel culture now?
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And I would say, no, look, this is a pretty reasonable discussion about standards of behavior. I mean, if an Astros player steps onto the field wearing a Yankees outfit, there'd be a problem, right? They'd say, hey, you can't play. And again, so you're representing Team USA. You're not representing the Lakers. You're representing Team USA. So I think small standards of behavior, such as standing for the anthem, just according to the rules, are perfectly in line with expectations. And why isn't it cancel culture? And this is actually a really good topic to hit, because even I think conservatives get this wrong a lot too. I think everybody gets it wrong. So we got to define cancel culture properly. Cancel culture is bypassing normal debate by beating somebody over the head with some kind of accusation. Okay, so that's cancel culture, and it happens over something that is generally unintentional. Maybe a bad joke, maybe a past comment that's taken out of context, maybe just a slip of the tongue, or over something that, you know, is traditionally okay, but is now not okay according to the woke left, right? And they desire to cancel you over it. So it's usually something that really shouldn't be that controversial that is controversial now. Now, why isn't this cancel culture? Because this person deliberately stepped into the fray. Like, she deliberately tried to make a skeptical of herself. Now, and of course, claimed that it was an ambush, which I thought was just a hilarious explanation from Glenn Berry that this anthem just unexpectedly played, like, which is, of course,
I didn't hear that. Did she really say that?
Yeah, that's 100% true. Yep. Claimed that
okay.
It unexpectedly played and she felt ambushed. She felt
okay.
Ambushed by her own national anthem.
She's never watched an award ceremony before. Every Olympics, it's always the same. They play the anthem of the people standing on the platform. Now, if I'm wrong about that, I will be corrected. But I generally believe that is an expectation that is sort of built in to the process.
You'd be right. You'd be right. Everybody else seemed to be ready for it. You know, congratulations to our first and second place winners. those two women, you know, deserved to win, and they were proud of their country. Which is, look, the vast majority of athletes, let's be honest, the vast majority of them. But there's these select few that love to get attention and then claim to be victims after they deliberately got their attention. So, it's a very dishonest form of activism as well. They want it to seem like it's very organic and just out of, you know, in the moment. But it's really not. You know, she had a shirt with her that said activist athlete.
Let me try and elaborate on your definition. Cancel culture is reactive to a unintentional entry into a controversial area that is punished by cancellation. Controversy attaches itself to controversial actions, and blowback from controversial actions knowingly undertaken is not cancel culture. Have I restated that fairly?
Yeah, you should write for Webster's. That was a very well articulated definition.
Well, it's actually just the New York Times v. Sullivan definition on who's a public figure. And if you're living in the fray, you can't be slandered. No one can slander Dan Crenshaw or Hugh Hewitt because we intentionally enter the fray. But if you're a private citizen, the slander standard changes. Defamation and libel changes for people who are not public figures. If you're a public figure, you entered the fray, and if people throw verbal kitchen sinks at you, don't cry. And if you're going to enter into the controversy, don't cry that people say you shouldn't be on the team. But if you happen to say something or they dredge up your old comment, that's appropriate. Now, let's move on to, and by the way, this will play out. You'll be on the Sunday shows talking about this, Dan Crenshaw. So get it up. Get your game on and be ready to go on. Let me ask you about your hotline. With this proviso, critical race theory is a subset of critical legal theory. Critical legal theory has been around since the late 70s, and I went to law school in the 80s, and people mocked it then as critical legal theory as being completely incomprehensible. We now know critical race theory when we see it, but we just don't understand what we're supposed to do about it. What do your whistleblower tell you that they're finding, and what ought we to do about it?
So what we're finding is in all of these sort of diversity and inclusion and equal opportunity training sessions that you're seeing throughout the military, you're seeing the principles of CRT laid out into practice. And that's what's troubling. and this manifests. So, okay, so well, first let's talk about what CRT is, right? It's this idea that there's this sort of secret racism inherent in all of our institutions. It is defined as challenging the liberal order, the liberal definitions of equality and justice, which just means equality and justice. Now, it does this in favor of basically favoring some form of discrimination in order to correct for past discrimination. That's the Ibram X. Kendi quote. And guess who's on the CNO's, the Chief of Naval Operations Leadership Reading List? Ibram X. Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist. So anti-racism thought is derived from the principles of CRT, which just assumes that all institutions are racist. And if you can't see it, it's just proof of your privilege. So, like, there's no way to escape it from them. And then when you see it in these silly little exercises that our military folks are doing, and they are basically silly, but when you see them manifest throughout, and we get hundreds and hundreds of complaints that are related to this, and we get a lot of corroborating evidence, it starts to seem like a problem. So when troops are doing privilege walks and told to, you know, take one step forward if you're white, take another step forward if you're male, and then, you know, divide each other up that way. You have another case where they're supposed to wear personal identification badges and walk around talking to each other with these badges on, and these badges indicate your race, your gender, your socioeconomic class, things like that. So again, the entire point being to drive people apart into subsets of identity groups. Another strange piece of reading was, white privilege, unpacking the knapsack or something like that. And it's just a whole manual from the 80s on your white privilege and how much better better you have it. So it's just this, it's anti-racism training, but it's mostly just racist training because, if you just switch, you know, generally speaking, if you can switch out the word white for black and it doesn't sound good, whatever you're doing, it sounds kind of racist. That's because it was always racist. You know, there was a seminar at West Point, and this is what Mike Waltz, questioned Secretary of Defense on. And this is what, General Milley blew up over. There was a seminar called Whiteness and White Rage, and it was taught by a lady who has long held beliefs that the Republican Party is a white supremacist party, that the institutions of America are based on white supremacy. So this is not some thoughtful educator, okay? As Milley was implying that this was all just for situational awareness, and, you know, everybody should learn different ideas. Sorry, no, this is propaganda, and it's not as if this was being debated, okay? It's not as if there was two people on the stage debating, and, you know, that would actually be an educational thing to see. But that's not what's happening here. So it's like to directly refute the comments that he made on this.
But, Dan Crenshaw, you're a SEAL. Waltz is a Green Beret. I got to ask before I run out of time. On your three deployments to Afghanistan, was race ever an issue among the platoons you led?
No, absolutely not. The military is one of the most diverse and inclusive places in the country. And the reason it is because our system is designed to be so colorblind. We wear the same uniform. We go through the same training. We speak the same language. We get inculcated with the same culture. That's what inclusion actually is. And it's really important for mission success.
That is, on that note, I'm going to leave it. That's just perfect. That's what inclusion really is. By the way, that's also what the Constitution mandates state action do, which is never, ever be race conscious. Congressman, thank you. Have a great 4th of July. Good luck in round 4 and 5 with Gwen Berry.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. The assault on religious liberty continues in our increasingly secular America. The left openly derides religious freedom as an impediment to its moral revolution, and the mainstream media now often use the term religious liberty only in scare quotes as if it isn't even real. But religious freedom is our first freedom upon which all other liberties depend. Our nation's founders understood that, enshrining religious liberty in the very First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Nevertheless, the recent unanimous decision of the U.S. Supreme Court defending the religious liberty of a Catholic adoption ministry has brought scorn from the left. Erwin Chemerinsky, dean of the law school at the University of California at Berkeley, said that he feared the decision is, quote, part of a trend expanding the protection of free exercise of religion at the expense of other crucial government interests, end quote. Other crucial government interests? That is ludicrous, but that is the challenge we now face. Religious freedom is not just a government interest, it is a constitutional right. I'm Albert Mohler.